I'm almost amazed at how God works sometimes, and we shouldn't be. He's God, and that's what God does. We ask Him for things, and we pray specifically for things, and God answers the way God answers, and then we sit back with our chin on our chest in amazement. I don't understand that, but that's the way we are. Brother Kenny preached for us last Sunday night, and in leaving Sunday night, he concluded that message with the need of us to be specifics in our praying. Who we pray for, what we pray for, where we pray, how we pray. And in his closing moments of that, God then gave me a devotion for Monday night. And at Monday night, Mind, Soul, and Body, we tried to share with them a couple people from the scriptures that had prayed earnestly. And Elijah was one of those people, and he prayed earnestly that it rain not. That's a specific prayer. And it rained not for 3.5 years. Then the Bible said that he prayed again that it would rain, and God sent the rain. Those are very specific prayers. And I want you to be specific in your praying. I'm going to tell you a little story. This is not really related to the message. It is if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit of God to lead you in your prayer life, who to pray for, who to visit, what to do, where to go, who to do it with, and all that good stuff. But it was told of a little boy that was from a rather rough family. Now, that could have been any family in this church because we're all rough. We come from rough backgrounds. Am I right or wrong, preacher? I mean, we come from the school of hard knocks. We have had rough times. We faced rough things. We had rough upbringings. There wasn't a whole lot of people early on in our lives, Brother Robbie, that were saved. I mean, Grandpa was saved, and then all of a sudden, people started getting saved by God's grace. But there was a young man that, it was told, a young boy that had just gotten saved himself, and him being from a kind of a rough family, and none of the family was saved. He knew that he needed to pray for his family if he was going to have any chance to live a Spirit-filled life, to lead a spiritual life in Christ Jesus. So he approaches his pastor, his preacher, and he said, "Preacher, nobody in my family's saved. I'm the only one saved." And this young boy said, "Preacher, I'd like to see my daddy saved. Because if daddy gets saved, preacher, then I'm pretty sure that if daddy would get saved, that everybody else will start doing what daddy does. They might not get saved, but they'll start going to church with daddy." And that's kind of what he said. And the preacher said, "Well, why don't we just pray for your daddy?" And while that was going on, he said, "I want the elders of our church right now to get up from your seat. If you're an elder of this church, or if you're one that thinks you can get a prayer through, you come up here and let's join this young boy in praying for his daddy, that his daddy might get saved, that his whole family might then get saved, and that this little boy can actually come to church with his family rather than coming by somebody else bringing him. So why don't you join me here?" So they're all up there and they begin to pray. And as they started praying, I mean, right in the middle of the prayer, the little boy just jumps up, jumping over people, runs through the church, runs out the back door of the church. Everybody's wondering where in the world and what in the world. They finished their prayer, and the people that brought the kid said, "Preacher, we don't know what happened." So the preacher decided we better check on him because y'all brought him. Boy lived a couple miles from the church house, but y'all brought him. We got to check on him. So it was told, preacher, that they, after the service concluded, that they jumped in their cars, the people that brought him to church, and the pastor, and they took off and went down the road. And when they got down there, the little boy ran out on the porch and said, "Hey, preacher." And the preacher said, "Son, are you okay? What's going on? We were praying, you jumped over everybody and you run out of the church house and scared us all half to death. What in the world's going on? Why? What are you doing?" He said, "Well, preacher, I told y'all to pray for my daddy." He said, "And y'all started praying." He said, "I wanted to be there when it happened." Now, my friends, that's praying in expectation. I want you not just to pray specifically, but I want you to start praying with expectation that when you make that petition before God, that your prayer is going to reach God. And bless God, you seek His face with that earnest expectation that it's going to happen. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm amazed, Miss Jen, at how God moves. And then I'll see the answered prayer. Megan, it's in my lap. It's dropped with specificity in my face. Right there it is. This is exactly, God, what we ask for. And it's even exceeding and abundantly above that we ask or think. There it is. But yet we sit back in amazement. I think about you. I mean, I look around, I see your story. I think about you taught school for 18 years, having been led by the Spirit of God to do something different. You said, I'm just going to walk in faith. And you did that. Many of you have done that. And I encourage all of us to walk in that Spirit-filled life that God wants us to. I'm telling you, when you walk with God and talk with God and are led by the Holy Spirit of God, I'm telling you, that's where you find the blessings. That's where you find grace. That's where peace comes in. That's where each of us can rejoice. And that's where our hope should be applied, because there's people in our lives that are depending upon your prayer as an intercessory prayer for them to get saved. Stand all over the house of God in Acts chapter number 8 this morning. Acts chapter number 8 this morning. I want you to pray specifically. If you're a young person and you've not started, you should start praying now, that God will send you the person that you would spend the rest of your life with. That's an honorable prayer. You said, Noah says, I'm only 13, preacher. You better start praying now that there's a set of parents out here somewhere in this world that's raising a young daughter to the same godly biblical standards that your mom and daddy are trying to raise you. It's not too early to pray, because it might just be that she's out there, and she is, unless you're going to marry somebody 15 years younger than you. She's probably living. She's probably breathing. She's probably going to a church right now or not. But you need to start praying specifically for what these things are. Young man, you need to start praying for the direction that God would have for your life, be it through some kind of an employment situation or whatever. And God tells us to work. God tells us that we are to make our living by the sweat of our brow. We are to work. You're to start praying about where God wants you to work. We're supposed to be ministers of God. We need to know what our ministry is, where your commission is, where your field is at, where your hope is at. Whenever God gives us the Great Commission, you need to say, Lord, where's my vineyard at? I want to get there and get busy in it. Because the Bible said that the fields are white unto harvest. But what does it say beyond that? He said the laborers are few. Now, suffice it to say, if we've got 300 acres of strawberries, then strawberries come in quick. They're about like them little squash y'all bring me around here. You go pick your cucumbers today, and they're about that big today. If you don't get them tomorrow, they're going to be just about too big. They grow so fast. That's the way squash and stuff are. But if we've got a bunch of strawberries and only two people picking, Brother Robbie, what's going to happen to the strawberry crop? Is a whole lot of them going to go to waste? Well, my friends, that's the way it is with souls. The souls are manifest in the thousands and hundreds and thousands and millions out there. And the laborers, we're just not reaching them. You ought to be praying, God, show me my vineyard. Show me my Damascus Road. Show me my place of business, that I might get there and get busy doing it. We're in the book of Acts in chapter number 8 this morning. If you found your places, say amen. I'm going to pick up the reading down about verse number 26. The Bible said, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying. Now, we can stop right there and say the angel of the Lord spoke unto Woody Dow, or the angel of the Lord spoke unto Preacher Mark, or the Lord spoke unto John, or any single one of us. Because he does not, I told you a while ago, he does speak to me expressly. He speaks just to my heart. I know that. I'm intimate with him. I know him, and he knows me, and he talks to me. Yeah. But he doesn't speak exclusively to me. I'm not the only one that he talks to. The Bible said you're his sheep, and his sheep know his voice, and they follow him. They will not follow the voice of another. So you follow him as he speaks to you. But here it is. The word of the Lord came by the angel, spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go down toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet, when the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest what thou readest? And that Esaias is the Greek for the word Isaiah in the Hebrew tongue. I'm not changing scripture. I read it as Isaiah, but it is Esaias. Understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. They went on their way and came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they were come up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, passing through, and preached all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Brother Kenny Anderson, if you will, bless God, ask God to bless our scripture reading, and then we're going to go ahead and bring you a short message.
Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the reading of our word. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the Spirit of God that we feel even now, Lord God, in our heart and our life. Oh, Lord, we pray, God, that there's one here, Lord God, this morning, lost without reading. God, we pray, God, that reach down, Lord God, and draw that person through the Holy Spirit of God down an old-fashioned altar, Lord God, that they find Jesus, Lord, real for their soul. Thank you, Lord God, for our pastor. Lord God, bless him and use him, Lord, we pray.
Let me just say real quickly, if you're being led by the Lord, you will not be satisfied in circumstances. See, circumstances in our life are just that. They come up, they go away. We face all these different things, but the circumstance that Philip was in was namely this. He's in the midst of the greatest swelling revivals that's ever taken place upon the earth. Souls are being added daily unto the church, Brother Whitty, into the numbers of thousands. And right in the midst of that is Peter. Right in the midst of that is Paul. Right in the middle of that are the early disciples. And right in the middle of that is a man by the name of Philip. It was Philip on that day of Pentecost with Peter and others that were preaching. And Brother Woody, there's great, great crowds of people that are coming to God. And it would be easy to stay right in the middle of that. I mean, great blessings are coming. People are just sharing in all kinds of manifold blessings of God. That little fledgling church is started up. And I mean, it's great. God's good. God's blessing. And Philip's right smack dab in the middle of that. It'd be easy to sit back and just stay right there and say, thank you, God. Lord, you blessed. And by the Holy Spirit of God, you've left me here to witness what's going on back here in Jerusalem. Brother Danny, I mean, souls by the thousands being saved. It'd be hard to walk away from that. I'm going to be honest with you. But if you're going to live a Spirit-filled life, as did Philip and some of the earlier patriarchs of God and disciples in the early apostles, you're going to have to look really quickly and say, yeah, there's something going on over here. And as much as I like being involved in this over here, bless God, I know that the Spirit is leading me to go there. And as the Lord leads you, you go with Him. And I promise you, He will not fail you, and He will not fail the work that you are sent to do. I don't know what that work is. I don't know what that challenge is. I don't know who you're supposed to go to. I don't know where you're supposed to go. That's not between me and you and God. That is namely and precisely between you and God. But I do know this, as the Holy Spirit moves, it's going to take three people. It's going to be taking God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. And the Holy Spirit's going to be the one that works in you. Now there's people involved in this passage of text. Namely, there is Philip. And then also there is an eunuch. Now there's two people there. The eunuch's reading in the book of Isaiah. He's in a deserted place where there's nobody there on that little road that leads from Jerusalem to God. Gaza, Philip is on that way. And as Philip is on that way, going that pathway, he is, get this really quickly, he is being led by God. He is following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. As many people being saved back there, but it'd be easy to stay there, but he is in God's will when he's going toward Gaza. It's very evident that God was using this man by the name of Philip to do a great work in one man's life, namely that eunuch. Aren't you glad that God cares about the one? Aren't you glad that God cares about the multitude, but he cares about the one?
Amen.
Oh, he's got 99, but is he not willing to leave the 99 and go and find that one? Would that widow not sweep diligently, having yet 100 coins, and lose one? Would she not sweep the house and find that one which was lost? That's exactly what the Holy Spirit of God has done with Philip here. So let me tell you real quickly, it's going to take a person. In this scripture, it was Philip. In this life, it is you. In this life, it is me. In this life, it might be somebody else to reach somebody else. You won't reach who I reach. I won't reach who you reach. We don't walk in the same circles. We don't go to the same places. I don't know your friends. I do not know your co-workers. I do not know your acquaintances. But bless God, get about God and get about his Spirit and let him lead you to that one which is needful for you. It involves a person. That person is you. It involves a person. That person is you. It involves a person. That person is me. And we need to be honest with God and say, God, we've come up way short on our duties. We have slacked off because I'm not comfortable doing that. I'm not comfortable talking to people about salvation. I'm not comfortable talking to people about grace or about biblical matters. Brother Root, are you saved? Amen. Then all you got to do is tell them what he did for you. You don't have to be a theologian. Yeah. You do not have to have a degree in divinity or theology to tell somebody. I don't know what happened. It says Brother Tam and I were talking the other day. You might not know what happened to you. You might be like the blind man. And the only thing you can say, I don't know what happened. You say, well, you're trying to tell me about something as big as God and you don't even know what happened. Tell me in the scriptures what happened. Oh, you're going to be like the blind man, Brother Luke. Just say, I don't know. I was blind, but now I see. They might say, well, who sinned that you were born blind? Who sinned was it your parents? Was it this? And you could quickly say, I don't know. All I know is this. I was blind, but now I see. You don't have to know scriptures. You don't have to have a great big PhD or some kind of a pedigree to understand, but John, what took place in your life. You got saved. That's all that matters. Use that to your advantage to tell somebody about God. It's going to involve a person. And I believe this, whether you like this or not, it involves a place. A place that you go. I don't go where you go. I don't go to meth houses. I don't go places and arrest people. I don't incarcerate people. I don't teach school. I don't do the things you do. And neither do you do the things I do. Even as it involves a person, namely you and me, it involves a place. You should show me that. It's specific that Philip left Jerusalem, one of the greatest revivals that ever swelled up, and went to a desert. The way which was called Gaza, going through the Gaza Strip. Why would you leave the swelling revival and go to Gaza? Because God had one man. A man that had mutilated himself for the cause of the queendom. Yes. A man that had mutilated himself and had sold himself out for the queen. He is a eunuch. He's never going to have a family of his own. He is devoted to the queen's work. He's mutant. He's mutated. Never going to have children. Never going to have a wife. Never going to be able to do those things. He sold out to the queen. But bless God, on that day and in that place, my friend, he sold out to the king rather than to the queen. Because Philip went down there in that specific place, him being a specific person, and told him about Jesus. He went to a certain place. God, where would you have me go today? How many of you remember Brother Dean Rector? And I know you do. Everybody here remember Brother Dean. Remember Brother Dean telling the story about Lord told, so Brother Dean pulling here and get a gallon of milk. Dean's like scratching his head. He's like, what in the world? I don't need milk. So Dean said, get a gallon. God said, get a gallon of milk, Dean. I don't need a gallon of milk. Dean, I said, get a gallon of milk.
Yes, sir.
Brother Dean drives on down the road, Brother Tam. God said, pull in here. Said, here? God said, pull it here. God, here? God, Dean, I said, pull in here. Now take that milk to the door. These people need milk. Brother Dean, that big old Bible probably slapped up under his arm. He had a Bible about that long. Slap that thing up under his arm. I love you. I love you. I love you. I can imagine him going to the door. That little bitty knock. Dean was not a big, boisterous man. Soft-spoken. I could just hear him. I don't know why I'm here, but I've got a gallon of milk. I don't know why I'm here. That's the person. It's Brother Dean. The place is that particular door being led of the Holy Spirit to take a jug of milk to somebody that didn't have milk but had a youngin' that needed some. My friends, that's God. And that's God doing what God does, but He's doing it through us. He's doing it through. Live your spirit-filled life under Christ and Christ alone. Don't be Christ-like minded some days and then worldly minded some other day. I said, let this mind which is in Christ Jesus be in you also. Don't be this way and that way. Be all about God's business and where He would lead you. The person was Philip in verse number 26. The other person was the eunuch. The place was that Gaza Strip, that way from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. God had a plan. What was His plan, preacher? To save somebody. That's what the whole plan was. What's the purpose behind it all? To see that man get saved on that day. Did you read beforehand where he had been? Somebody read beforehand where, well, I'll get it. You don't know where I'm going, what my mind's doing. But the Bible says, if you'll look at that very quickly, verse number 27, the latter part said that when he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and look where he had been. What's the next part? He had been up to Jerusalem. What was he up there doing? Buying, selling sugar? Trying to make trades for the queen? No, no, no. He wasn't up there trying to get any queen's proclamation to the people. He wasn't up there trying to barter goods for the queen. He was up there to worship. That's what he had done. He had gone up there. The Bible says in the latter part of that 27th verse that he had gone, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now let me tell you, if you're coming here to worship, but you don't know who you're worshiping, you don't know why you're worshiping, you don't know when we worship, and bless God, that thing just all not panning out for you, then you need to get back into the program and find out what God's plan is. God's plan is that you be saved. That is His purpose and His design for sending His darling Son to the cross, was for Him to die and bleed and then go to heaven after the third day, rise again after the third day, and then ascend back to the mercy seat of God, apply the blood to the sacrificial ark of the covenant there, the mercy seat of God, and then send the Holy Spirit back to us, that then we, my friends, could be saved as well. Amen. That's the plan and the purpose of God. If you don't get saved, then you didn't tap into the purpose of why my Savior died. You're not a part of His plan. You are a part, but you're not participating in it. I just want you to jump on board and live a Spirit-filled life. Look at verse number 37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I want you to see this promise real quickly. The Bible says that he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What the Bible say in Romans 10 and 9? That if you believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth, what's to say beyond that? Thou shalt be saved. A lot of the newer versions and translations take out that part. They just said, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? The newer versions say they stopped the chariot and they went down and baptized him. They leave out that part. My friends, if you don't believe in that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Almighty Savior Jesus, then my friends, you're lost. That's just plain and simple. That's just book. Take you a little place back into the scriptures. Brother Steve Mahaffey opened up this morning in our Sunday school class with John 14 and 6. Jesus said that I am the way. What is the way? That's the only approach. He said, I am the truth. In an age, in a day where there seems to be no absolutes, there is an absolute. That is Jesus Christ. And then he said, I am not only the way and the truth, but then he said something that this old Ethiopian eunuch got to buy into. He said, I'm the life. Brother Tim, there's no life outside of Christ. You say, well, I'm living right now and I'm not saved in this life. If this is all you've got, I'm going to tell you what you are. You're most miserable. You are most miserable. I can pill my head at night, Ben. I go to sleep. See, anyhow, it won't take me to go to sleep. 45 seconds, maybe 1 minute. It's usually because I go so hard when I finally lay down, I'm gone. Boom, I'm gone. I can pillow my head with the full assurance that if I don't open them in the morning, I'm going to be with the Lord. Amen. It doesn't trouble me to go to sleep. I don't toss and turn about my salvation. I think about y'all and I wrestle with some things going on in my life sometimes. But as far as my salvation, Brother Greg, I'm settled in that. Now, I'm going to close this thing out here in just a minute. Macy, come on over to the piano. We're not going to be real long. We're not stretching it out. I want you to be obedient to whatever the Spirit of God is having you to do. That obedience to the call on your life, the call on your life, that the obedience to the call is wherein lies the great blessing. You said, show me that in the Scriptures, preacher. The Bible said that there were 10 lepers. They came to Christ and they cried out after him. Son of David, have mercy upon us. He said, you go show yourselves to the priest. The Bible said in their obedience, the Bible said as they went, they were cleansed. If they'd have stood there scratching their noggins, they would have been just like they always were. They'd have been lepers. Noah, I've shown you favor. Noah has found grace in the eyes of God. Noah, I want you to build an ark to the saving of humanity. What did Noah do? He started hewing some timbers and driving some pegs. Why? Because God told him to do that. Mr. Noah, you found grace in my sight. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah wants you to build a boat. I believe I'll just sit right here. I'll just sit here for a while. Him sitting there would not have stopped the rain, I promise you that. God would have found another way to save humanity. But he used Noah. And in obedience to the command that God gave him, 8 souls were saved. The man with the withered hand, his hand is drawn. He couldn't shake your hand if he tried to because he's got a withered hand. He comes to Christ and Christ says, stretch forth thine hand. Keep it up against your chest. That's what you got. It's a curled up withered hand. But the Bible said that when he stretched forth his hand, Brother Woody, it was made whole. Brother John, there is obedience to these commands that we must follow because that, my friend, ensures the blessing. I want you to live a spirit-filled life. I want to live one myself. I want to do much better in the next years than I have in the past year. Because, Brother Tim, this thing's drawing nigh for every single one of us. And the older I get and the people that I see in the obituaries, every one of them now, it seems like they're younger than me. It used to be that I'd look in there and everybody's old. Now I'm looking in there and everybody's young. When I go around a family reunion or go to a school reunion, I'm like, who are all these old people? Oh, they're my classmates. Oh, they're my family. Oh, I'll probably look the same way to them. Let me tell you, my friends, God is trying to get his number. He's going to get his number. But he includes us in that process. Amen. He wants you to be obedient to what he's got you to do. I want you to live a spirit-filled life and a spirit-led life. I want you at the close of the day when you've had windfall profits and it's better than it's ever been, I want God to guide you in your giving. That barber that I told you about earlier, he says, Lord, this belongs to the barber down there. He was sick. He couldn't work. God said, go give it to him. Can you imagine being on the other end of that? A man comes in and says, look, I cut 200 heads this week and I usually only do 100. And I just found out at the end of the week that half of those were yours. Here you go, buddy. I hope you get better soon. I hope you get better soon. That's the way this thing works. But anymore, my friends, we're in competition with the one up the road and down the street. It bothers me when we go to Bojangles Bless God, how often, Miss Megan, do I get to boast that somebody was saved? I'm not talking about boasting, boast, prideful boasting. How often do we get to tell somebody, bless God, we had a child saved? Anthony is far and few, between. I remember one specific service, we had 7 people saved. I think it was when we may have been still at Mountain Valley, because we were at the 2nd Street Bojangles after service. We don't go over there, so it had to be back when I was at Mountain Valley. I met up with a preacher in there. Brother Tam, I was excited. You don't have that. How'd church go? Thank God we had 7 souls saved. Well, we had 12. What? Really? I'm glad. Praise the Lord. I didn't know we were in a bidding war for souls. I just want to see people saved. Not that I can boast in the number, but bless God that every one of them, somebody don't have to go to hell because of that. But my friends, let's be led by the Spirit. Mr. Macy, Brother Scott, what have you got?
44, come unto me.
Number 44, come unto me, all you that labor. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and I will give you rest.